Show. Keeping your money safe and secure, giving you predictability. Have the retirement you deserve with our Safe Money Strategy. All the financial news you need, we're here to help you succeed on your Safe Money Show.
Good morning and welcome to your Safe Money Show. I'm your host, Todd Schoberg, once again at 8 o'clock at KBEK. You know, today's show is very unique, and the title is To Keep or To Toss? That is the question. We spend half of our lives accumulating stuff and the latter half trying to get rid of it. If you're in the second phase, you will help you make the tough decisions about what to toss and offer some suggestions where to sell your stuff or what to do with it. But first, let me introduce my astonishing co-host, Mr. Tony Shore. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Todd Schoberg. Great to be here with you today, Todd. I love the topic today. We're talking about spring cleaning, and you and I were chatting, and I said, if I could just get my wife out of town for a week and rent one of those large, the big guys that they have to back up length more than the length of my whole driveway, those big construction dumpsters. We've lived in the same house for 28 years, raised three kids there, many pets. The garage is packed. We can barely fit our two cars in there. And in their basement, just tons of stuff. We got to clean eventually, right? I mean,
yeah, and I don't know. I've told it on a story or on the show before, is that I gutted my upstairs. My house is 100 years old, but in this upstairs of this 100-year-old house or so, there's attics on both sides. And what happens with a 100-year-old house, you have generations that get, well, first it starts with cardboard boxes, then it does egg crates, and then there's tubs. So everything keeps getting pushed back and pushed back. Well, we emptied up all the sheetrock, everything out of there, completely down to the studs, and we found what's in the attic. Well, I made an educated decision, or a risky decision.
Risky. Let's jury's out on the educated, Todd. Let's stick with risky.
So I had them all, the guys, bring everything down into my living room.
Into your living room?
In my living room. And I made a rule. None of this goes back upstairs. It either gets sold, given away, or put in a dumpster.
Yeah.
And we're into week five, and I can't see the other side of the room yet.
5 weeks. And see, that's my situation. We have, my garage is so packed that now we can barely fit. We fit one car in. We normally can fit two, but the whole front of the garage is packed, floor to ceiling with stuff. There's a little nook that's packed. We got in the rafters. We put down plywood. That's packed. Underneath the stairs in the house is packed. And then the cement half of our basement, the laundry room, the back half of that is packed. And so I'm looking at all this stuff, and most of it, we haven't touched it in 20 years, Todd. We've lived there 28 years. Most of it hasn't been looked at or touched in 20 years. And I sat the wife and kids down and I said, now, if we haven't needed it in 20 years, we don't need it. We can just get rid of it. I said, I'm going to hire a dumpster and I'm just going to put it all in there. I heard a chorus of, oh, no, 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 we can't do that. And I'm like, why not? Well, there might be something in there we want, that stuff we want to keep. And I go, until when? Yeah, you're going to put it in a U-Haul and haul it behind the hearse when they take us out to the gravesite? I mean, what are we going to do with this stuff? So I'm just hoping, again, my wife goes out. And but that stuff, I have three piles. My idea of cleaning out is when we clean up a room or a drawers that got all junky, the junk drawer or the garage, I say, we get one of those dumpsters. It's either getting thrown out, it's getting given away, or it's in a keep pile. But I said that keep pile better be really small. And I want final say. And so I said, I want to see the majority of it in the dumpster. And I said, if it's definitely valuable, then you can put it in the Goodwill pile or the give it away to the local thrift or charity shop. Right?
Absolutely. I told Barb, turn the radio down if you're listening to the show. Turn it down. Give me a second.
Get your wife to
yes,
stop
I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to throw something away. And if you can tell me what it is within 2 weeks, I'll either go get it or I'll buy you a new one. Just tell me what it is. That's the magic. If you don't know what it is, you're not going to miss it. And it's been there. I mean, three generations of stuff is up there. Four. My kids still had stuff in the attic. We're going to go through that today. I really am. We're going to give you some answers. We're going to give you some direction. And Barb, you can turn it back on because I know you didn't turn it down. So anyhow, we're going to get back into the show. Right.
Keep or toss. That's the question. We accumulate stuff for the first half or two thirds of our life. And then we spend the latter half or third of our life trying to get rid of it. Right.
Absolutely. And we have so much stuff, you know, we have stuff. How many pliers do you have?
I don't know. I couldn't give you an accurate count. I'll tell you what, when I need one, zero.
Yeah,
when I don't need one, I come across them everywhere. We probably have five or six pairs of pliers at least. Yeah. And when I need one, I can never find one.
Or if I can't a screwdriver, it's the wrong guy. It's a standard one. I need a Phillips.
You know, in the junk drawer, I thought we had every screwdriver and at least one pair of pliers in the junk drawer. I go there. There's only a straight screwdriver. No pliers, no Phillips. And I'm like, do they even make straight screws anymore? And so the only screwdriver that I always know where they are is the straight screwdriver, because you rarely, if ever, need one. The other ones go disappearing because somebody, I need this, or I forgot to put it back. Usually I'm good about putting my tools back though. So, but that junk drawer, who knows what's in there? I usually every 6 months or every year, maybe a year, I dump it out on the table and I just usually clear it into the garbage bag. And there's like, there was stuff in there. And I go, if we need it, I'll run to the store and buy a new one. Absolutely. I know that seems wasteful, but I'm just like, I can't anymore with the junk drawer.
Ace
Hardware, start fresh.
Ace Hardware in town loves when I have projects going on because they know I have something going on, I'm going to be up there 7 to 10 times on a Saturday.
Because I'm like, I need more of those screws, and I'm there. I don't have the right size ratchet. I need a new ratchet set. My Ace Hardware is probably the closest store to my home is an Ace Hardware. Seriously, it is. Yeah. There's a gas station, and then there's an Ace Hardware, and those are the two closest to my house. And that Ace Hardware, they know me by name. Yeah,
the girls know that. Todd, you bought one of those 2 weeks ago. They know where it's at in my house. I don't know. Oh, man. They're great, though. They're great. I just want to touch a little bit on Memorial Day, that I worked really hard. I had the boys over, the grandkids over on Sunday. And I'm going to confess, I did nothing on Monday at all.
Good for you. Good for you.
About 32 ounces of water and watched a couple movies. That was the extent of my work.
Oh, see, that's good. That's great. I know. I like that.
I feel guilty about everything, and I feel guilty about that.
You're a workaholic. You're always doing something. So for you to sit down and watch a couple of movies, that's an accomplishment for you, Todd.
Yeah, and it really felt good. I went to bed at 10 o'clock, and normally I'm in bed at 8. But I was up before 35 o'clock. You know, that's the way it is. But anyhow, Memorial Day is our unofficial start of summer. And, of course, it's to my favorite time of year, and that's fishing, and I'm going to be fishing in June. But I'm not going to be away from you. You can still turn on the radio on Saturdays. I have a full schedule of interviews and hot topics recorded, and Tony's going to fill in. We're going to do just what we need to do to make your summers happy on Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah. We'll have some new content that we pre-record, and we'll have a lot of content.
Yeah, but I'll be drifting off to my lake place to fish and get sunburned and all the things I like to endure. So I'm all geared up for that famous open enrollment season and to catch up with any of your estate planning. But if you need me, my office is open. I have a brand new system, so I got internet at my camper, and I can do Zoom meetings or whatever I need. So don't give up on me. Oh, I did have one other thing about our office I did want to mention. We no longer have an Ottawan home personalized insurance agency here. Denny Norby had run it for years, and it was great. He did a great job, but he did retire. And I don't have enough time in the day, so we've given that for a low, low price, discount price to a great agency, Oakwood agency in Minneapolis. But we have not quit. I have not retired. It's just the Ottawa home portion of our business we no longer have. We can give you referrals to where to go if you need help, but that's what we've done. So I want to let everybody know that we're still in the Medicare, health insurance, and estate planning business with Megan Guptill here as our attorney. So we have lots of help, and we'll keep you up to date with the radio show. So nothing's going to change.
Good. Well, hey, let's jump into our topic. What's the first step in getting organized? And how do you decide what to keep and what to toss? I mean, if it's up to you and I, it sounds like everything goes in the bin, right? The dumpster.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But getting organized is really tough, especially for baby boomers facing a unique double whammy right now. After decades of accumulating their own possessions, they want to simplify their lives, even as their parents are dying and leaving behind tidal waves of stuff. At the same time, their millennial kids are leaving home and leaving behind many of their possessions. The solution? Dispose as much as you can, then organize what's left. That's the basic rule of thumb. Think of the disposal process as right sizing, meaning you should have the right amount of stuff at the right time in your life. Keep only what you find useful or beautiful, and to sell, donate, or toss the rest. We needed to say it more than once, and we might yet do it again.
Right.
But yeah. then there's the thought process. Handle that. Somebody might say, we might need that someday.
Yeah, I hear that a lot from my better half. But what if we need that someday? Or I want to keep that.
For what, we ask, but we're not going to go down there yet.
That was my mom's.
And do the kids really want their parents' stuff?
No.
No.
Typically not.
And even the grandparents' stuff that's still there.
Oh, there's a lot of that too.
Oh, yes.
I've got a lot of my grandparents' stuff.
But newsflash, your kids grew up with too much stuff. And yep. Don't want yours. They don't want
it. It is so true. They don't want things. I used to think, man, as a kid, if I was my kids, I would really like, oh, dad's this, dad's that, because I used to be that way. Nope. They could care less. I mean, even about stuff like I have a really nice audio system set up and, you know, thousands of records. I don't think they care. They don't even want. They're like, that would looks like it'd be a lot of work to move. Oh my goodness.
The only thing I know the boys want is my boat. They don't care about anything else, but they're fighting over the boat already. And I said, I'm not even going to have this when I get old. I'm going to have a different boat. And it's just going to be a little boat that I can jump out of when the nursing homes come around. So that's all it is. That's all I'm going to have.
Oh, no. I like the way you put it. Your kids grew up with too much stuff. They don't want yours. And I have seen it. Like my parents got to the point of retirement, and now that I'm adult, I'm like, we went through their house because they're both in, assisted in long-term care now. And I'm like, they're trying to say, you want this, you want that. And I'm like, I'm just closing my eyes going, oh, I wish I wouldn't ask you because I don't want any of this stuff. No. I mean, you know, I have the stuff that means a lot to me was like, I have some photos and I have my memories. Otherwise it's just Chotsky. And, you know, remember this little horse toy that mom had as a child? Yeah, it's great. What am I mean, if I kept all the stuff they wanted me to keep, I'd need a second home. And you know, some collections are valuable, but who has the time to do you have a full-time job, or can you sit at home all day on eBay and doing auctions and pricing them and then packaging and sending out? That's more than a full-time job, is to sell all that stuff. Absolutely. So it's not even necessarily, I mean, like my record collection, I love it. And I know there's places that would come in and give you one book price for it, but it might not be. But there's individual records in there that I have records that are worth $300-$500 each for one record. But my kids are they going to know which ones, and are they going to sit there and put it up on the right site for the right auction and know how to sell it and get the price out of it? And to do that for thousands of records, it's not realistic to get that out of it. So most collections are not.
No, and taste of change, really. I was at my daughter-in-law's place the other day for my young or my oldest granddaughter for graduation, and there's a spot for everything. I mean, there's not a pot out of place. You know,
they don't want it junked up.
No, yeah. They have just what they need. They're great at it. Many 20 and 30 somethings don't like furniture upholstered in floral. I can't believe this, or plaid, or paisley fabric. They don't like it. I don't understand.
What's wrong with them?
They don't want.
Let's go back to the 70s.
They tend to live and entertain informally and don't want anything. They can't wash in a dishwasher, to be honest with you.
Right, so they don't want the Hummel figurines.
Yeah, they don't want the crystal. They don't want china. They don't want silver. They have to clean silver. You know, they don't want that. But ask your children what they would like to have and accept their answer. And don't pressure them into taking more than they want. As for other issues faced by many empty nesters, serving as mom and pop storage, you agree to store those kids' stuff while they're growing up. You know, they leave the home, they go to college.
That's the situation that my wife and I are in. Every time when they got out of college, we had to go to their dorm, get everything. You know, and what can we get rid of? Oh, I want to keep all of that. Well, what are you taking with you to your apartment? Oh, none of that. It's like, well, wait a second. Hold up here. So we have all this stuff from all three of our kids, and they're all grown out of college. What are we doing? I didn't realize I was a storage facility.
Absolutely. Right? And the key here is you have to give them a time frame. Once you
find a deadline.
Yes. Yeah. You have to tell them by July 5th of next year, you're either coming or this is all going out. No, that's too long. You want to get sooner than that. That's over a year away. Give them 3 months to get in the house. Come and visit. Do it around a holiday. I don't know. You just got to pick that date and say, you got to do it. We don't want it. Otherwise, I'm going to leave everything for you to clean up here, and you'll have to go through it anyhow. I'm trying to help you out for 40 years down the line when I find
out. Oh, yeah. It can be a nightmare. I remember when my grandma and my mom's side passed, they went upstairs into their house that was over 100 years old, big, huge white farmhouse, you know. And up in the upper level in the bedroom, there's bedrooms up there and then kind of an attic. Bags and bags and bags full of bags. I'm not kidding you. Grocery sacks full of, you look in, more grocery sacks, paper and plastic, Life and Time magazines. Now, some of these, you know, people say are valuable. They had those National Geographics and Time and Life stacked floor to ceiling along walls, just stacks, and magazines no one cares about, like Better Homes and Gardens, People magazines. They never, ever would throw out a magazine or a sack or a plastic container. And then my mother-in-law's house, when we moved her out into assisted living, opened up the closet under the stairs. It was full of sacks, full of plastic empty plastic grocery bags.
Were they using it for insulation?
It was very insulated in there. You couldn't fit in there. I was just like, and then I look at our house and going, yep, we're turning into these, you know. I laughed and made fun of them, but I shouldn't have, because, you know, it's like, look what we've become. Yes, we got to avoid this. But, you know, let's get back to like I talked about my records, but everyone thinks that their stuff is worth a fortune, right? Everybody thinks their collection is worth a fortune and their kids are going to want it. Everybody thinks that.
And they don't. So you might as well get a value of it. If you have something you think that's worth something, you might as well take advantage of it. You know, antique pens, gold coins, turn of the century Louis Vuitton trunks filled with memorabilia from World War I and II. This kind of stuff holds value. And in today's world, if you have any gold, I just went through some of my folks' stuff.
Gold is worth a lot. Right now is the time to cash in on that before it drops again.
And I found a lot of real gold chains. And I would say I got about, I would guess, maybe 2 ounces.
Oh, wow. But
in today's world, that's probably, I even found 2 teeth with gold in it.
Sure.
You know, so they saved that back in the Depression area.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a good piece of gold in each one of those teeth. Yeah. So those have value. Sure. So I start to identify and get some sense anyhow of what it's worth, and then maybe start getting rid of it, selling it. I like the idea of appraisals. But if you have an appraisal on something that was 3 years ago, they're outdated. You're going to have to look and do some comparisons on some of that stuff.
Yeah.
You got to have that valuation so you know where you're starting.
Yeah.
If you really want to get into it, after you've sorted through your pile and you've got it in your favorite place, so you know where everything is, all two items or whatever I'd have left, the best is to hire a professional appraiser to visit your home for a few hours. Show them what you have. Antique dealers, those types of things, they are for hire. They can hire you. You can hire them by the hour, and they'll come in and give you some real pricing. And I did that once. A friend of mine knew an appraiser. He was into antiques, and I had some stuff from my great-grandparents' place. I thought, oh, this I'm in. Oh, I got something here. And it was a couple rockers in it, a beautiful China set or a China, what you have to help me with.
China somebody. Hutch.
Yeah, that is. I keep forgetting that. Yeah, Hutch.
Beautiful Hutch.
Beautiful woodwork on. Yeah, he says, that's about $50 if you can get somebody to carry it out of here. So you really need to know what it's
Everybody
worth.
Thinks their stuff is worth something. And
just it, because it, it's and just, old.
The default is it's not, but right. It might be worth if you really, I mean, so many people I see and meet just think what they have is like, I've got these old Elvis records. They got to be worth something. And I'm like, were they on RCA? Yeah, they printed about a million of those and they repressed it every single year. So there's probably about 100 million of these floating around in the world right now. And yours is scratched and the cover's damaged. It's worth nothing.
Yeah,
right. It is literally, but I saw it selling at a market for, you know, $20. It's got to be worth more than that. Nope. That was overpriced. It's worth about $1. So people don't understand, you know,
just talking about records, vinyl.
Yeah.
I have a box that's probably 2.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
And it fits like a record on top of each other. It's full, solid. And my goal is to have enough time off. It's just to play them once and then make a decision where they're going to go. I know where they're going to go pretty much, but I do want to listen to some of those old 33s or
78s.
A lot of 78s.
Yeah.
Most of that. So it's all that old time stuff. So
yeah, the 78s aren't worth a lot nowadays typically, but they're, you never know.
It's depends. Not for the value. It's just
it's
to be able to listen to
I think that's
time.
Neat. Yeah.
I like some of that. So I bought a brand new recorder player. You know, what's a record player, Grandpa?
Exactly.
So I'm going to do that someday. I'm going to get it set up in my garage so I can just kind of check them off and go. But that's personal. You know, that's personal. It's not valuable.
Right. Exactly.
And you really need to make that decision.
Yeah. So what if somebody wants to sell items fast, like online, instead of going through an appraiser and all that? Is that the right, a good financial decision?
Well, yes, maybe kind of, sort of. But it takes more time and effort than most people expect. However, they can try to sell it at least some of it all on your own, or you can put it on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. You can list items on, you can put one, no, what was the number I had it? Craigslist, they have 415 local sites.
Yeah.
You can try to list them on Facebook Marketplace, but on eBay, most sellers can list about 250 items per month for free. After that, typically it costs 35 cents each.
Yep.
And when an item is sold, and a lot of people don't know this, eBay takes the final value fee.
Yep.
And usually ranges from 13 to 15% of the total sale price, plus a small pre-order fee. Sales can also print discount labels on it. You can print them so you get, you know, free. You can offer that free label or free shipping or reduce mailing for yourself
if you're
seeing it out. Sure. You know, I look at this as something I said I would never do again, and that's a garage sale. You go through all this work, you put it on the tables, you price it out. Everybody comes in the door. They want to give you the lowest possible price for it. Yep. And you make a couple, $300, $400, $500 at most, unless you have
if you're lucky. Yeah. You make $500 if you're lucky. I mean, my wife and I had a garage sale and we made, I don't know, $250, $300. And we put all this work into it. And you're like, oh my gosh, that it was not worth the time or effort or money we put into it. I mean, that's crazy. No. We bought signs. We made signs. We both had time. We didn't have a change box. Oh, I'll run to the store and get a change box. And then I'm adding up all our expense. And then I'm like, of course we made money even after we just had a couple expenses there. But I'm like, well, wait, we sat out here in the sun the whole time and, you know, we had to be here like two full days and then deal with people, you know, showing up at our house at 5 a.m. asking to see the stuff early. And oh, my goodness. We said that we did one garage sale. I mean, we've lived there in a great neighborhood, great garage sales. We did one. Of course, we live on a cul-de-sac. That makes it tougher. It's not a through street. So we had to put up signs. But we did one and we looked at each other and said, never, ever, ever again.
No,
yeah, Facebook Marketplace now. I mean, yeah. You if you have something that you think somebody would want, you throw it up on Facebook Marketplace. If you put a good price on it, it'll go.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't have the time or the effort into it. No. My sister does it as a hobby. She and
does what as a hobby?
Garage sales. Not to go to them. She and her girlfriend spend about a weekend putting stuff together. They might have some libations. They might make it fun, and they do have a good time for that weekend and then they have a sale for 2 days. But they do it not for the money. I think it's just, you know, they get together.
Yeah, like fun. Time once sure. Sure.
Because I know what they've sold and they don't make any money, but they sure have fun. Goofiest four girls you ever want to see putting something together. But
yeah, I mean, unless somebody has like, if you had like a snowblower or a bunch of nice sets of golf clubs, but even then, if you have really nice stuff and it's on a garage sale, I don't care how nice it is. If it's on a garage sale, people expect it to be super cheap.
Right.
Absolutely. Like you can't expect to get the value out of it because it's on a garage sale. It has to be pennies on the dollar. That's what people expect out of garage sales these days. I think that's what I think.
The biggest gift I had is where my folks, we'd finished up my folks' place and put it all out for a garage sale. We went through battles and dealt with it. We got a few dollars, but it was nothing big. One guy came up with a trailer on the outside of the street. It was closing time, about a half hour before closing. We were done for the thing. He says, I'll give you $200 for whatever's left. Here. Sold. We didn't have to take any of the garbage. We didn't have to take nothing. He loaded everything up on it, and we've never seen it again.
I've heard of people doing that. I've heard of people doing that. I'm like, why would you want all this junk? This is our junk for $200. But that's, hey, that's that. You pray for that to happen, especially the last day. Or yeah, I mean,
what are you gonna do? I was not going to ask that question. I was not going to ask.
Oh, no, you don't bring that up. It's like, what in the H fire do you want this stuff for, buddy?
Well, we better wrap up this conversation.
Yes.
But clearing out clutter isn't just about neat closets or sell of your home. It's a critical piece of your broader financial security. I'm trying to make this good now. When you downsize, you stop paying heat, cool insurance, and maintain things you don't use. You unlock frozen equity, though, from the items sitting in your attic and turn it into some liquid cash, maybe. That is cash you can reinvest, generate passive income, use to bolster your retirement nest egg. Or what I like to see you do is put it inside your emergency fund. Exactly, protecting your wealth means cutting out hidden costs and holding on to your stuff you no longer serves in your future. To summarize, decluttering doesn't have to be overwhelming. It does require a mindset. When you stop letting common myths guide your decision, it becomes easier to sell, donate, or toss with items with confidence. The result is simpler home, potentially more money in your pocket. I know we talked a lot today about it, but I had to get that off my chest after doing mine. If you're looking for a comprehensive retirement plan or concerned about your future retirement, give me a call at 855-226-6639. That's 855-22-MONEY. Or go to my website, yoursafemoneyshow.com, where you'll find all my educational information, or stop by my office at 139 Union Street South. I know I got to go, but I hope you enjoyed the show today. And remember, if I can't prove it, don't. don't do it. Have a great weekend.
All right. And that does it for today's episode of Your Safe Money Show with our host, Todd Schoberg.
We're here to help you succeed on Your Safe Money Show.
Your Safe Money Show is brought to you by Schoberg and Holmstrom Financial Services in Mora, Minnesota. The agency is an independently owned and operated and is not affiliated with any other Safe Money or government agency. Call the office at 855-22-MONEY, 855-226-6639 for your no-obligation appointment or visit yoursafemoneyshow.com.